Hi, everyone, and welcome to Cosmos with Cosmos. As always, I'm Mike.
I'm Liz.
I'm Brandon.
And we have a special guest today. And Brandon, who's our special guest? And introduce yourself.
It is Cass.
Hi, Cass. Yay, welcome
back. This is not the first time we've met her, by the way. So
who is this person?
Sorry, I didn't. Doesn't matter. You know, in my head, I was like, I need to let her know that we're gonna introduce the three of us, and then I said we have a special guest.
Yeah, we didn't give her any direction.
No, sorry.
Brandon booped me on cast.
That is all on me. All right, so today we're gonna be talking about some stuff.
What are we talking about?
We're talking about Brim Stars. We're talking about Harry Stars. We're talking about comets.
Those dirty, dirty.
Yeah.
But before we get into that, what's that?
It's Cass, C-A-S-S, short for Cassidy.
Yep. Okay.
Sorry, my mom called her Cat.
The show is just completely broken down now. But all right. Anyway. Before we get into these hairy broom stars known as comets, let's go talk about our drink.
Yeah.
Brandon.
The best part of the show.
What are you drinking, man?
I am drinking Mark Twain's Last Ride.
Ooh, nice.
Fancy.
For those of you on the podcast, not watching audio, they have that window behind them.
Well
and
done.
There's a floating hat. It makes me very happy.
That is really well done.
Well done.
We got to take a drink of that. That's well done. Yes. Cheers. That was great.
Cheers to my dad for that one.
Excellent. Oh, well, anywho, I'm drinking a Mark Twain's Last Ride. It is Santori whiskey with a single red gummy bear in there.
A single red gummy bear.
From Germany, mind you, Deutschland.
Oh, well.
Yeah.
Hey, Brandon, we're gonna go down to our liquor store here in Bend. We do have one because we've been here quite often. Mm-hmm. It's Third Street, and we're gonna see what kind of fancy whiskeys we can get.
Yes.
Because we have more selections here than we did in
you do, Auburn. And it's significantly cheaper.
Yes.
Now I do want to point out it's called Mark Twain's Last Ride because Mark Twain was born in one of the appearances of Halley's Comet, and died in the next turnaround of Halley's Comet.
I mean, what?
He even called it. He said, I came in with it, I'm going out with it.
I mean, that's cool.
Yeah. That's pretty badass. That's
cool. It's like one of those baseball players calling where they were going to hit the home run.
On their shot, yeah.
Yeah.
I feel like they have more control over where they can hit their shot versus when you're going to die.
You know, you may have more control of when you're going to die. Let's be real.
I guess...
That's stuff to do.
That's fair. Very poetic, though. It is very poetic.
All right. Cass, what are you drinking?
I have what I'm calling the Bloody Snowball of 1811. Because my only reference really with comets are the musical Natasha Pierre and the Great Comet of 1812, which is confusing, but I did some research, and yeah, it was a really long one, so...
Wow.
Yeah.
She's the only one who did research.
I know.
Actually, my research was literally watching a video that was made for eighth graders about comets, so I don't know.
That's basically what we do.
That's pretty much what our research was.
That's what we do. That's what we do every two weeks.
You know, I like that. The Bloody Comet.
Yeah, what are you drinking, Liz?
I am drinking Dirty Blueberries. Dirty Blueberries.
Ooh, well, like Mars.
Like, yeah, but, you know, we go with the comet theme. This is just... a blueberry compote that Mike made with vodka.
Vodka.
Oh, and...
something else.
It's not tonic water. Club soda.
Club soda. And club soda in there. So initially it's made with gin, but...
Yeah.
I'm not a big gin fan.
No.
So I asked for vodka instead.
So I have the same drink in waiting, but I have what I am calling... I have to look at it because I forgot the name of it. The Comet Magnetotail.
Magnetotail.
Yeah.
That's the name of an evil cat.
It's like a cross between like X-Men
Ian
and cat.
Yeah. That's what I think of every time I hear Magneto.
It's an X-cat.
Yeah.
So this is, this has vodka in it. Mm-hmm. It has ginger beer. So it's kind of like a Moscow mule. But the beer is the vodka is raspberry vodka.
Oh, because
I finished that off.
Very nice.
I put a little of the blueberry syrup on top.
Okay, nice.
Yeah, so.
Looks like a Jack made a lemon sorbet float, calling it drinking the yellow snow. That's the only yellow snow you want to drink, I think, is a lemon sorbet float.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I tell Leia to never eat the yellow snow.
I don't know if she can see the yellow snow. She just likes eating snow, so.
Oh, no, she can find the yellow snow one way or the other. She gets it.
She sniffs it.
All right, before we jump into the comments, we got some social media to
promote.
Yeah, so follow us on all the things on Drinking Cosmos on Twitter, and everything else is Cosmos Cosmos. Follow us and rate us on all the things as well that you can. Don't forget to join us in the Hangover. Yeah, because that we should be pretty drunk at that point. So, you know. Who knows what we're going to talk about. I'm sure politics. Utah just pissed me off today. But anyway, whatever.
I was going to say, why does it not? But we'll get into that in the Hangover.
I'm sure we will. Wild Ixia on Etsy. Woo-woo! Check her out. It is Katie, mm-hmm. podcast sister. And she does amazing
genetically
art.
We're bound together.
What?
We are genetically bound.
Genetically? But that's one way to put it.
It's got some amazing art, so Wild Ixia, IXIA, and check out her stuff, and by all means, buy all the stuff from her.
Buy all the things.
Dude, we're doing a podcast, man.
Sprinkling.
What are you doing?
I was trying to be clever about it.
No.
Also, check out Ron Proctor's MrProctorShow.com. I also think he has RonProctorSucks.com.
One day we'll actually follow up and be like, what do you actually want us to promote?
Yeah.
But for now,
I've asked him that. I've asked him that, and that's what he said. Okay. He also does the music for us for The Hangover, and mm-hmm. it's like really cool.
And The Shot.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Also, check out Jack's Planetarium. It is Rolling Bluffs Planetarium. You can check it out online at rollingbluffsplanetarium.com. So if you are in the Council Bluffs, Iowa area, mm-hmm. which is, I think, in the southwest corner, kind of on the border there with Nebraska and stuff, you can go check him out. And definitely, if you're not in the Council Bluffs area, just check out your local planetarium, your local observatory if you have one, and promote the and support the astronomy clubs that have star parties. Speaking of promoting, all right, so it's every other Wednesday, right?
Yes.
But we do the shot. I just can never remember, like, when is it. So is it next Wednesday? This Wednesday coming up?
No, I think one just came out. Okay. I have to look at the schedule.
All right, so every other Wednesday we have the shot, nice little bite-sized nugget of astronomy stories and news, mm-hmm. and things like that, and it's actually really a lot of fun to make, and I think Brandon says it's his favorite thing.
Next Wednesday.
I love it so much.
Thanks, Katie.
Yeah, it's definitely definitely a lot of fun. Rules. Apparently we have new rules.
Yes, indeed.
The normal rules of if a puppy barks, dog, if you're a dog,
and
dog,
there are four
bark.
Dogs in this household now, so
yeah, but two don't
two
bark.
Are quiet, two don't make a
two
sound.
Two don't bark. Yeah. Ours do. Ones, but they're upstairs with us, so I'm not really sure if they're going to bark. Probably. But they might. If there's a Star Wars reference or a Lord of the Rings reference, take mm-hmm. a drink.
Mm-hmm. And of course, the new rule being, anytime we hear a parent in the background, probably commenting on the podcast, take yourself a drink.
Take a
drink.
That.
And or see a hat floating in the back.
Or, yeah, if you see a hat, we're definitely taking a drink to that, because that was absolutely just fucking brilliant. Your mom paying attention to our banter.
Mm-hmm. Of course she is. So. Of course she is.
All right, so let's get started. Let's talk about these things.
Let's get dirty and icy.
We talked about
it's that kind of show. Okay.
Yesterday we talked about, like, I was like, Liz, you ought to just say, I am Groot. I am Groot. And then I would say, well, what she said was that the comments are mother frickin' dirty snowballs, but she didn't use mother frickin' straight out of Guardians of the Galaxy. So, you know. So what are comments? What are they?
Good question.
Yeah, Liz, take this one because this is your favorite one.
They're dirty snowballs.
Oh, but that is not what you were saying. That's not what you've been saying.
They're dirty, pleasant, nice.
She has been saying all along that they are dirty motherfucking snowballs.
Which is my favorite term. It's not my favorite space term. We all know my favorite space term is galactic cannibalism.
Of course, yes.
But dirty snowballs, I just love that term because they're like big snowballs in space.
That are dirty.
I mean, yeah, they got like rock and ice, and you don't want to eat them.
You know, your tongue will freeze to it. Uh-huh. It'd be like
eat the dark snow.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah, it works. Yes.
All right, but they're real. They exist further out away. They're separate from asteroids. Asteroids primarily being rocky objects. You know, most of them found in the asteroid belt. You know, some of them hanging out with some planets here and there. You know.
I'm so sorry. I love the gesticulation by Liz. And all we're hearing is ice cubes hitting the glass.
Ice. There you go.
It drives me crazy.
It's for the ASMR folks out there.
So we got Brandon with, like, I don't know, Doritos bags, and then we got you nailing.
Well, normally I have something to put it down, but it's really the table's a little in this glass. I should have put something on it to not.
Well, you know, in 4 weeks we'll figure it all out. All right.
Anyway.
All right. So what we have learned in this 10 minutes?
What have we learned so far, Mike?
That they're dirty snowballs.
Uh huh.
But Brandon, where was that name coined? Who gave us that name?
So it was coined by an astrophysicist, Fred Whipple, who I'm very excited about.
Oh, Fred Whipple of the Whipple Shield fame?
Of the Whipple Shield, same fame. Yes. Yeah. So the Whipple Shield is like a hypervelocity shield on spacecraft to protect from micrometeorites. So it kind of makes sense. I think the comics and just call them dirty snowballs. That makes me happy. Fred Whipple.
So simple.
Yeah. Yeah. Now where did comets come from? Like, how do they just exist out there? Was it like a giant icy planet somebody took a hammer to, or what happened there?
Jesus. Yes. We all Jesus. Know Jesus.
Jesus.
Yeah, no, they're left over from the formation of the solar system. So, I mean, pretty much everywhere you look is left over from the formation of the solar system.
Solar system formation debris. I mean, these things
them and asteroids.
Over that's super 4.5 cool. billion, they're 4.5 billion years old.
I saw a fun quote that said, comets are older than dirt. Which, they are older than dirt.
They are.
Yeah, how old is dirt? I mean, you can put an age on that.
I mean,
well, you can. Well, it depends. Do you mean dirt or soil? So two different things.
Mm.
Well, let's go with the simplest soil way. Dirt.
Okay.
Right? I mean, isn't like dirt. Anyway, we can get into that in the hangar.
Yeah, that's a whole other thing.
We need somebody to look that shit up.
Dirt and soil. Yeah. This is not a gardening podcast, everybody.
So in our solar system, as of this year, as a matter of fact, we've discovered about 3,743 comets in the solar system.
Only?
What we discovered.
Well, they're small.
Are those ones that have names or number
names?
Or?
Like Comet C1.
They all have
designations.
But of course, out there, whether it's the asteroid belt or further out, trans-Neptunian objects in the Kuiper belt, there'll be billions of them.
Billions and billions of comets.
Zipping around the solar system, burning them up as they pass the sun.
Yeah, so they're dirty snowballs, mm-hmm. left over from the formation of the solar system, and 3,743. Yeah, that seems really quite low.
Yeah.
But I always just thought there'd be more, but I guess it makes sense because they are small.
Yeah, most of them are far away. And so, I mean, we really, what, of those 3,000, are those are ones that, like, you know, stop by or?
Yeah, you'd have to think most of those are the short-term comets that come by every, like, 100, 200 years. Yeah.
All right, well, I think we need to define what these.
Oh, yes, long-term and short-term.
Yeah, so there's two types of comets. You have long-term and short-term. Like Brandon said, short turns are basically less than 2 centuries, so less than 200 years mm-hmm. to go around the sun. And then the long turns are obviously
an orbital period
longer than 200
and
years.
And the short term comets, they're primarily on the plane of the solar system, so they're going to basically follow the path of the sun. Whereas long term comets, because of where they are located, which we'll get into, they can come from any direction,
up, down, side to side, diagonal, all the fun stuff.
You know, actually,
like the Willy Wonka comets.
Actually, we did not put that in the
We
did not put it in the outline here. So we actually, I mean, this is the perfect place for it because this is where it belongs. So let's talk about where do the short term comets originate from?
Oh, excellent. Space.
The final frontier.
Yes.
There's a lot.
These are the voyages
a lot of
the short-term comets.
Yeah.
To boldly orbit.
Oh, too bad we don't have a Star Trek drinking rule.
Not too bad we don't have a Star Trek drinking
rule. No, we would be, we'd be dead.
And if I wear my Quark's bar
shirt. Yeah.
No, so the short-term comets come from the Kuiper Belt.
Yes.
The Kuiper Belt is kind of out near Pluto. Pluto is part of the Kuiper Belt. Neptune is kind of near its borders. And so the short-term comets originate from there.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And then you have what's called, and so they will be going around the sun in the same direction as the Earth goes around the sun, mm-hmm. Counterclockwise. If you're looking down from the North Pole of the sun, so they all kind of march counterclockwise, all pretty close to what we call the ecliptic, so not too far off the ecliptic, which is the path of the sun across the sky.
Yeah, and you have enough comets in the early solar system that had been able to, you know, get together to be big enough to become spherical and become dwarf planets.
Yeah, so go ahead and say it. Go ahead and talk about Pluto. If it were moved closer to the sun, what would happen? She used to say this all the time. Pluto would grow a tail.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I don't know what would happen.
It would develop a tail.
Yeah, it would get a tail like a comet. So it's really more like a large comet.
Huge comet.
Like a ginormous comet than, you know, a planet. It has more comet features. Qualities than planet qualities, I would say.
But I do also want to point out that if you moved probably most planets considerably closer to the sun, they would grow tails. Like Jupiter, if Jupiter became a super hot Jupiter.
Yeah, but I'm sure about Jupiter by different physics. Yeah. Different things going on with Jupiter. So
yeah, it's not
I just thought that was fun.
Yeah. I mean
already gassy.
Yeah. All right. So we have short terms coming from the Kuiper Belt. Where do the long term comets come from?
The Oort cloud.
From Jan Oort. Oort.
And the Oort cloud itself, in the debris cloud surrounding the solar system, it kind of looks like a snowball as well, depending on your visualizations of it. Like it's just a whole bunch of little tiny dots covering in spherical form the solar
just
system.
Like, it's just like, I like to call it like a hamster ball. Like we're in a hamster ball of comets.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just rolling around the sun, rolling around the galaxy.
And those can come from any direction.
Mm-hmm.
Now, and those have periods longer than 200 years, longer than 2 centuries. They can come from any direction. They just need to be nudged and fall in towards towards the sun. Nudging can happen in a couple different, different ways. They can get close to another one of these little snowballs, which is really highly unlikely.
Mm-hmm.
They can get nudged by a passing star. They're so far out that their pull from the sun is enough to keep it in orbit,
mm-hmm.
but it's easy for a passing star. And we're talking, you know, the star doesn't have to be really close. It can be like a light year or two away and still disrupt its orbit enough and it will actually fall in towards the sun. And either it will either be moving too fast that it will then leave the solar system or, you know, it'll orbit it. So we do have a comet right now that is actually coming from the Oort cloud.
Yes.
And this is Comet C 2022, so it was discovered last year, and it has a designation of E3. We have in the notes that its period is about 50,000 years, but I do believe its eccentricity is greater than one, so it's going to go bye-bye. It's going to leave. It's going to leave
solar. It's going to leave the solar system.
Yep.
Yeah. Which kind of goes into what we got a question in the chat is, how often do new comets come from other solar systems? We have a visitor asteroid. Was it 2 years ago now?
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah, so we do get other asteroids and comets once in a while from other solar systems. But obviously, it's once in a, I was about to say blue moon, but once in a mega blue moon. that does occur.
What's the difference between a blue, never mind.
A blue moon and a regular moon?
I thought you said mega blue moon.
That was a joke. A blue moon is when you get a full moon twice in 1 month.
That's all it is.
That's all blue moon is.
Yeah, it doesn't.
Well, something like every 13 months, something like that.
Yeah, it's like 13, 16 months.
So it's like once in a blue moon, then, again, because it's not an often occurrence.
Yeah. Yeah, so, I do believe
Jack says we are yeeting that comet out of the solar system.
Yeah, so, yeah, I mean, I think this one, is this the green comet that people are referring to?
Yes, the green.
Yeah. So this one is, and the only reason why I know its eccentricity is greater than one is because for work, I did need to go to JPL Small Body Object website, and it lists all its orbital parameters, and so it was greater than one. So, but that was last week. A lot of things can happen when it comes to astronomy and figuring out all this stuff.
That's
so
true.
So I do think it's going to go bye-bye, but these Oort cloud comets do have exceedingly, and in most cases, exceedingly long
they're really far away, so it's going to take them a while to, you know.
Yeah, and so 50,000 years, so let's just pretend like we do have a comet that, has a orbital period of 50,000 years. The last time it was here was long before human civilization arose, before anybody started writing any shit down.
So just like it, animals saw it.
Well, animals and early humans, Neanderthal.
Early humans, they did see it. But
what they thought of it.
They were, oh shit, let's get some food.
All right, so we have comets now. Let's get into the pieces parts of comets.
The pieces parts?
The pieces
parts. Reese's Pieces of comets.
Oh god, Reese's would be so good right now.
Reese's, especially when they're cold from the refrigerator.
Mm. Yeah. Okay, so the comets usually, I mean, what's the first thing you think of when you think comets?
Tails.
Tail, exactly. But there's really three parts to a comet.
Three parts.
Yeah, three main parts.
Okay.
Yeah, the nucleus.
Uh-huh.
Which is
the main comet.
Yeah, it's the main comet. I was gonna say the heart of the comet. I guess it really is
the comet.
Yeah, and that is the dirty snowball that we've already referred to. Mm-hmm. When far from the sun, that's all there is to the comet. So it's the like the essential.
It's like
part
an asteroid, basically. You know, just colder ice. And icier than
Sure.
But as it gets closer, as it comes in closer, some of the gas and stuff starts to sublimate off of the comet, and it becomes what we call the coma. So that is the hairiness of the comet.
Because that's what coma is Latin, is hair.
It's
hair. So think of like coma
Berenices. Isn't it Greek?
Oh, Greek, probably Greek. It's coma
Berenices. Yeah, because coma Berenices isn't.
Yeah, it is a constellation that is just a constellation of hair.
You know what? It's all Greek to me.
Berenice is there. Yeah, so.
Which I didn't realize. I did not actually know that before today, that comet is based on it being hairy.
Meanwhile, you know, we will, in a planetarium, point out, I mean, I never did because it's a dim constellation, but Coma Berenices.
I love talking about Coma Berenices because I like the story and just talking about how this chick got her hair up in the sky is a fucking constellation.
We need to do a hangover about that. I don't remember her story.
Well, you know, today is the day. So, we can do it today. But the one thing that we always think about, of course, is the tail. And as the comet approaches the sun, it heats up. The first thing that forms is that coma, the hairiness of the comet, but then it begins to develop a tail. Mm-hmm. And there are...
But not just one tail.
No, but there's two. But people say there are three. And we're going to go.
Well, people maybe. Silly.
All right. So the two real tales mm-hmm. are the Ion Tale and the Dust Tale.
Yes.
And so the Ion Tale is mainly made up primarily of
ions.
Yes, exactly, exactly. But I was so gonna, clever. I was gonna say carbon monoxide ions, nitrogen ions, carbon dioxide ions. So
and that's the colorful ones.
And
colorful
tail. That is a colorful one. It is kind of blue or green in color.
Depending on what.
And in this particular case, I guess it is more green. I want to. Carbon monoxide, it gives it the green color?
Sure?
I don't know. But one. But
I don't know if it's monoxide. I think it's monox. I don't know.
Monoxide. So. Basically, the color is going to come from the elements that the ions that make it up.
Same thing for meteorites or meteors that streak their atmosphere. That color is dependent on the elements as well, the composition.
Yes.
So, same principle.
All right. So ions are made up of charged particles. Charged particles, as we discovered in the 1800s and so forth and so on earlier, culminating in Maxwell's equations of electromagnetics. We know that charged particles are influenced by magnetic fields. And so as the solar wind blows past a comet, the solar wind is made up of these charged particles. Mm-hmm. As the solar wind interacts with the high-speed charged particles, as it interacts with these ions coming from the comet, it creates a magnetic disruption, and it creates a magnetic field that points directly away from the comet, and that magnetic field is called the comet magnetotail.
Comet magnetotail.
Nice.
And
I'll drink to that.
And okay. sure. Why not? And so what happens is it forces the ions to. And that tail is pointed directly away from the sun.
Always.
And so it forces the ions to. Follow that magnetic field. It also constrains the path that those ions take. So the magnetic, so the ion tail is usually quite thin mm-hmm. and sharp and points away from the sun, always points away from the sun. So the other one is made of, is called the dust tail, which is made of?
Dust!
Ions.
Get out of here.
And it generally points away from the sun.
Yes, but cannot.
Yeah, and so
it has more flexibility.
It has more flexibility. Yeah, so it is made up of dust, obviously, and that dust usually not magnetic at all, so it doesn't care about the magnetic field.
And by dust, this is just little
grains of dust,
particulate material that's coming off,
like you have in your house.
Yeah, and it's so less skin particles.
There we go.
No dust bunnies.
And comet skin?
Space dust bunnies.
Comet skin particles.
So it's generally white or yellowish in color. So when you see those beautiful pictures of comets.
The yellow bits.
The blue.
Is what Jack made.
The blue are the ions, and the kind of the whiter tail is going to be the dust tail. And so the solar wind and solar radiation actually kind of push that those dust particles out. But it's not really efficient in constraining their motion,
so
like the ion tail.
Wider,
so it's a lot more
spread out.
Yeah. Yeah, and so generally it points away from the sun, but you can also
kinda
see.
Kind of like if you blow dust off of something, and it's
yeah.
just like.
Yeah, but you can also kind of see the path that the comet takes around the sun.
Jack says his kids say it's comet dandruff.
There you go.
And some heading comets for that.
That's snow. Yeah. That's how I've been describing snow in my head lately. Sky dandruff.
Sky dandruff.
I was just thinking comets, they just like clean up the solar system.
They don't clean it up.
Because it's comet.
No. That's
but
what.
But they leave all this dust behind.
So you use
comets to clean up the rings of the bathtub that Saturn leaves behind.
There you go.
All right. So
Mike is so disappointed in us.
Well, it was just having butchered. I had a hand in this butchering, but
you did this. You created. You created.
I have no problem with this. I have no problem with the fellowship and what we have created together. And, you know, all right. So there is this, you know, third kind of tale that's really kind of a, not a tale at all, but it's an optical illusion.
Oh, yeah. It's like the moon, like the moon illusion? Never mind.
All right, so it's called the anti-tale.
The moon's not real.
Ah, the Joseph Campbell tale, yes.
Yeah. All right, so we'll have to remember to get into the moon illusion. All right, so suffice it to say, go out, look at full moon when it's close to the horizon, put your thumb up, it'll cover the moon. Even though it looks huge, when it's high up overhead, you can still cover up the same moon as, with your thumb.
So it's not really bigger when it's on the horizon.
It's the way that your brain interprets it. When it's close to the horizon, we'll get into that later.
And to be fair, it's part of the reflection of the flat Earth that makes it loom larger.
Right.
It's the wall around the poles that reflects. Yeah.
Check out our episode of
God. Oh, so annoying.
All right. So there's another thing that's called the anti-tale.
Is this the third tale? So this is the illusion tale.
So this is the return of the king of the tales.
Oh god, we have to take a break. Okay, so basically what's going on with the anti-tale is that it is a quote-unquote spike that we see that originates from the comet and points towards the sun. But what's really going on with it is that the anti-tail consists of larger dust particles that you would normally find within the dust tail. And so these are getting shot out in all different directions. Mm-hmm. They really are. It's just that there are some that are shot out in front of the comet. Mm-hmm. And these are definitely not affected by the solar radiation as much because they're much bigger, they have more weight, it's harder for the wind to push.
Is this just like because when comets, when they're sublimating, there are specific spots on the comet where you have those venting of gases.
So these are coming out from the front.
So this is just happens to be like the comet is venting and it's coming from the front.
Right. And so
it's not being like, you know.
And so what it does is, from our perspective, forms a disk around the nucleus of the comet. Because the others will shoot off, but then they kind of appear to arc and they become part of the coma and that type of thing. But these will shoot off directly in front. my thumb must be huge. these will be shot off directly in front of the comet. The thing is we don't see it as a disk. You can't see the anti-tail until the Earth passes through the orbital plane of the comet. And at that point, the disk is oriented in such a way that it kind of blends in with the comet and with the coma.
So it's all about perspective.
Yeah. And so when we pass through the orbital plane, we can see the disk and we can kind of see that the quote unquote anti-tail.
Okay.
But it's really just kind of an optical illusion. And in some cases, you can actually see the anti-tail on the backside of the comet. So you can see the actual disk around the comet. So you see the front end that we call the anti-tail. But in most cases, that backside of the quote-unquote anti-tail gets lost in the dust tail. And so you don't see it. But
no, so we hate to see the comet go, but we love to watch it go. Yeah, thank you.
Look at those tails, boys.
Oh, yeah. All right, so that's what a comet is. I mean, it's pretty easy, right? I mean,
simple,
they're
yeah.
just dirty snowballs. Yeah. They have various things to them, like comas and nucleuses and two different tails. Mm-hmm. They come from different parts of the solar system.
Are you going to touch on, I believe you called it earlier, a broom stars, which I know is just another name.
What?
A broom,
Broom, oh, Broomstar.
Star. Well, and the yeah. origin of that name. I know that Harry because of the coma and coma.
Oh, right, right. Well, if you look at a broom, it's got the handle, right? Just ignore the handle. But the bottom part, the bristles.
Uh-huh. Indeed. So that's.
And so it kind of looks like a comet where it just.
When was that name originated? Do we know?
Whenever they invented comets. Brooms? I mean, whenever they invented brooms. It was.
That'd probably be confusing because witches fly with the broomsticks. So, like, is it a comet? Or is that a
is witch? It a witch?
Or is it the comets?
I mean, comets could be witches.
You know,
join us next week. Like, Cosmos and Cosmos is it a comet playing a game. Is it a witch or is it a comet?
If I were a witch, I'd be like, "Diz, comet." I mean, you can see me on a broom.
If it's a witch, then it's an evil witch because comets are harbingers of doom and destruction.
Ooh. Which brings us to our next part. Thank you.
Harbingers of doom and destruction.
Even though you were like, I was about ready to go into it, but then you're like, where do brooms come from? And then, but yeah, harbingers of death and doom. Comets. And so let's get into how we have kind of.
Yeah, because I mean, you see it in our pop culture all the time, like Game of Thrones, the Red Comet, and
spoiler.
Various things. Too late now, people. Get on the boat. You know, that comets have always had this kind of, like, bad
mystique about this
to them, you know? Yes, mystique, that's a better word than bad.
Badness. Let's go stick with that for us.
All right, before we get into the harbingers of,
yes. Oh,
death and doom.
My mom does ask, how fast does it travel?
42 comet units. 42 comet speed units. It really kind of depends on where it's originating from. I mean, if it's originating from the Kuiper Belt, it's going to go at a different speed than because it's closer to the sun. Mm-hmm. It needs to have that speed to that faster speed to orbit the sun. But if it's coming from the Oort cloud and it is gravitationally bound to the sun, having a closed orbit. Mm-hmm. Or semi-closed or whatever. So it's not going to leave the solar system. Mm-hmm. Then it can actually
meander.
Move a little slower.
Just meander.
Saunter. I was thinking saunter.
Meander.
But your speed is very dependent upon where you are in the solar system. So when you're further out, you're moving at a much slower speed than you are when you're closer. Mm-hmm. So for the Earth... if a comet on this C2022E3, which I think had periapsis, its closest point to the sun, not too long ago, it is moving much faster than it will be 6 months from now.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, comets move at different speeds. We move at different speeds, and that's okay. Just go your own speed.
Go your own speed. Exactly. I like that. Go your own speed.
But you may be going your own way. I mean, since we're going to go down a Fleetwood Mac little thing here. But, yeah, I mean, it's it kind of depends on where you are and where you're originating from.
Got you. Bringing us back to Death and Mayhem, Jack says Avatar, the cartoon Avatar, they had the comet that amped up the firebenders because mm-hmm. it was going to amplify their firebender power, and they had to go stop stuff before the comet.
You know, we need to watch that again. It's been a while.
You would think that would amp up the water benders since it's a big ice ball. I don't know.
That's just but you know.
And it's ice, earth, science, air, physics, and fire. What? It's all of them, actually.
Yeah. It is all of them.
All right, I want to watch Aang and the Last Airbender.
I've only seen one episode, guys.
What?
I'm sorry.
Oh my gosh, it's like comforting.
Yeah, the movie sucks, but whatever.
Yeah, the movie's awful.
Okay, anyway. Before we dive into just superstition and shit, there is one dude named Aristotle. Still had a little bit of a voice of reason in all of this.
Uh-huh.
And so,
okay. Even though he was wrong about, you know, the whole...
He was wrong about most space things.
Yeah.
Yeah. But to be fair, they all kind of were.
I mean, it was really all Greek to him.
All right.
Using brain
joke. Way to reuse my joke, Liz. Damn, be original once in a while.
Jesus Christ, we've been doing this for 45 minutes. All right, you guys have to stop talking at this point. All right, He believed that comets were a phenomena of the upper atmosphere where stuff would occasionally burst into flames. I have to continue because you guys have wasted time. All right. The upper atmosphere was the area between the Earth and the Moon. And, of course, everything evolved around the Earth. And, no, I'm kidding. You can go ahead. It's going to be a long episode.
I just, okay, no, continue. It's fine.
No, and that was basically it. And well, so now and we can kind of get into...
And I wanted to put that in there just to give a reference to where the ancient people, quote-unquote ancient from 2,500 years ago, mm-hmm. believed these comets were and, you know, where they came from. So if they believed they came from a place between the Earth and the Moon, at least give you some reference where they are actually close to you, close to the Earth.
Right, which can make them more scary and, you know.
Yeah, so one of the first written references, as far as novelizations and stories goes, comes from the Epic of Gilgamesh, when they reference falling stars, very likely as comets. And so think about this. You believe, just like Aristotle did, that except for these comets and the wanderer planetes, the planets, that these objects out there in the sky are permanent, everlasting, and never change. And then all of a sudden, here comes this motherfucking comet about to fuck some shit up. Yeah, so of course you get kind of scared. Like, is the sky falling? Is something going to change? So they start to think, well, let's start connecting this comet showing up to these bad things happening on Earth. When realistically, a bad thing on Earth happens like every single day. So of course you can connect, you know, causation and causality, things like that.
Yeah, but on the flip side, everything there's a lot of good things happen on Earth every day.
And true.
So you could say comets cause that as well.
Oh, and you were saying?
Yeah, that was one of the things that I actually asked Brynn before we started, because I was looking up the comet of 1811 and everything kept linking it to these earthquakes that happened in the United States around the same time and also the war in Russia. So it was like Napoleon took it as a good sign that he was going to win the war. So he started the war in 1812 and the United States... I guess it was before the United States. There were like tribes there and like I think some Spaniards in the area.
Well, I guess we also had the War of 1812 in the U.S.
Yeah. So that was, was it 1812 or 18? No, there's War of 1812 and then War of 1814. Anyway, wars all over. But so that was like the destruction.
It depends on your perspective on what side you're on and like what's going on to see something appear, you know, that wasn't there before, and then be like, ooh, if things are going good for you, like, it's a sign of the good, and if things are going bad, you're like, oh, shit, I'm all gonna die.
And there's a few instances throughout history kind of link these up. Like, for example, in the year 35, the comet came by and was interpreted as a pending destruction of the kingdom of Gongshunshu by the Wuhan in ancient China. And, of course, that year, the Gongshunshu, they fell.
Right. Anyway, I'm assuming they were already pretty much knew they were going
to fall. You had to assume so.
Yeah, there was already that in motion that this was then just like, let's blame it on the comet now. Yeah.
But it is not amusing, but let's call it amusing. That's not just like Western civilizations that have this belief of a comet being a harbinger. Like it's China. There's places in the Americas that have the exact same ideology that comets will bring doom.
Yeah, I think that's a good testament just to human psychology, you know?
Yeah, I'm good with that.
Yeah.
I mean, if I saw a tail for 200 days, that might freak me out too. Honestly.
Especially when you don't know you really don't know what the hell is happening up there. You don't have telescopes. You don't have this knowledge of what things are. You kind of have to, if that's what we've done, we've made stuff up to kind of explain it or to rationalize what we don't understand.
Yeah. So we mentioned the Great Comet of 1811. We'll talk about that in a little second from here.
Bloody Comet of 1811.
But another big one was Halley's Comet in 1066. This was during the Norman conquest of England, which was a huge historical event. Mm-hmm. So just all these big events just happened to coincide with comets as well. It's quite amazing.
Because comets happen every year.
Every year.
And especially like if you are pre-electricity
you're gonna see
more of them.
You're gonna notice more new stuff coming in.
Yeah. Brandon.
What's up?
All right. So this one you really wanted to talk about. Liz has not looked at the
I haven't looked at the notes because I'm excited because to find out what this is. I didn't want to spoil it.
It's really cool. I did read it and it
Yeah, this is pretty cool.
All right, ready, Liz? Tell us about Norse.
I'm ready, I'm excited.
According to Norse mythology, comets were actually part of the giant Ymir's skull. According to the tale, Odin and his brother slew Ymir after the Battle of Ragnarok and set about constructing the world from his corpse. They fashion the oceans from his blood, the soil from his skin and muscles, vegetation from his hair, clouds from his brains, and the sky from his skull. Four dwarves, corresponding to the four cardinal directions, held Ymir's skull above the earth. Following this tale, comets in the sky, as believed by the Norse, were flakes of Ymir's skull falling from the sky and then disintegrating.
Ah, that's cool.
Isn't it?
Yeah,
skull,
I do think that's
really cool. Skull dandruff, easy. Is your skull itchy half the time? Get these four dwarves.
You might have skull dandruff. Or comets to the Norse. You have comets in your head.
I like that. God, that's
yeah,
fun.
That's a good description. I mean, that whole quote that Brandon read is I mean, that's good.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's very, very descriptive mm-hmm. of
I mean,
how they
as
see.
Actually terrible as the Norse Vikings were, like terrible people actually, they had some cool beliefs.
Right. I mean, yeah, a lot of pillaging and raping and murder.
Yeah, I just listened to a 5-hour podcast on them, actually. And it was fascinating and terrible at the same time.
You'll have to send me that podcast.
Norse mythology is fun. I do love Norse mythology.
Yeah. I did enjoy playing a Viking in Assassin's Creed.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. But that did not show up in the game at all. It should have.
One of my favorite Vikings and pulp culture comes from a song from VeggieTales. And the guy just keeps knocking the door and he's expecting Santa. Like, is this Santa? Could this be him? And he opens the door and he goes, I'm a Viking! And I'll come to take your land. Oh, yes. Made me happy.
On VeggieTales?
On VeggieTales, yeah.
Wow. I never watched VeggieTales. No. But.
Well, somebody is not a true believer. So.
Jack says everyone goes a little crazy Larry. When you have 10 months of winter.
Yeah, it's true.
It's not fair.
Yeah, I mean, if you're like, you know, I mean, you're a hardy people, you know, you just go fuck up some monks. Yeah, it's fine.
Yeah, but is it a good excuse to pillage? Is it?
What's not a good excuse to pillage?
Okay.
That's how we end up with January 6th, Liz.
those aren't Vikings.
That was a Buffalo Viking shaman, I'm pretty sure. Don't ask me where he came from.
That one guy was dressed as everything.
Yeah.
We don't talk about him.
Didn't somebody go to high school with him?
Yeah.
All right. So on that note, let's talk about some notable comments that have happened
notable
through history.
Notable comments.
Yeah.
This should be a Jeopardy category.
Oh, you're going to have me just like the notable. This is notable
orbitals. Notable orbitals.
Oh, God damn it. I was trying to think of notable orbitals. That's what I was trying to think of when I
that's the
originally
name of
put
bands.
That category.
Notable orbitals.
We are notable orbitals.
I can't say it right. I couldn't think of it.
Sounds like I was going to make fun of Brandon's kind of music, but then it's also Katie's kind of music.
Hey, every time we golf with friends, we have to listen to that music.
That's it. Next time
it
was Rammstein
really
all the way
with
through.
The Mariner. I also like the one with the lady that's doing like the one you played with the lady that's doing like a very Sanka song. It was I don't remember anyway. But the Mariner one was fun. All right, notable orbital
comets.
Snowballs. The Great Comet of 1577. This was measured by good old Tycho Brahe. Tycho. Oh yeah.
Metal nose.
Uh-huh. I wonder if his pet dwarf Jep helped out with this at all.
He did.
He did? Okay. He measured this comet to cross the orbits of Venus and Mars. And he used it to help create a new model of the universe. But we already had we had the solar system model.
It was the wrong model, but it was a new model nonetheless.
Okay, well,
because Brahe was really good at observational data, but not that
mass.
Actual math program.
That's why he had Kepler come in and do all the maths for him.
Kepi caps.
Good old Kepi caps. And so it was a hybrid model between heliocentric and geocentric, which sounds a little lazy to me. Like, pick one or the other. I can't.
Well, it's tough to go against, 1,500 years of belief. So, like, what if you just try to make a baby step in between the things?
That's fair.
Wait, we got a comment. We got a comment in the chat from Jack. Super stripper name. Welcome to the main stage. Notable orbitals. Beautiful. Beautiful.
It is hard to say, actually.
It's good. Notable orbitals. Notable orbitals.
Notable.
It's like a, that's like a warm up exercise now for.
Yeah. Do re mi fa notable orbitals.
For the podcast.
Is that we're gonna do every podcast?
Yeah. Notable orbitals. Notable. I can't even. Okay. All right. Next one. The Comet of 1680. These are very dramatic names. All right. Sir Isaac Newton. Good old Newts. He used the comet as an example of the inverse square law of universal gravitation.
What's that, Liz?
Basically, that these objects move in a parabolic orbit.
Okay, yeah. Yeah, sure. So this was a parabolic, yeah, okay.
I don't know what that means. Explain that to me.
All right, inverse square law.
Which I never know what that means.
Is 1/r². So,
fancy physics man's got this.
Light does this as well, but so if you are, let's say, 10 feet from a light bulb, okay, it's a certain brightness. All right, right? Mm-hmm. If you are 20 feet, it is 1/4 the brightness because you're twice the distance. But inverse square is 1/r², so 1/2², which is 1/4.
And I'm R in this situation.
You're what?
R. What's R?
R. Distance. You
confused? R is distance.
Okay.
In physics, R is pretty much always distance.
Why not D? Anyway.
D shows up in astronomy.
Okay, so what's a parabolic orbit?
Parabolic orbit would be, you have, parabolic orbit is when eccentricity is equal to 1. So it's going to escape. So ellipses. So basically,
they're called. Okay, so a parabola goes like this, right?
A parabola goes like, yeah, it looks like a U, uh-huh, that is kind of like a tight U. So the two straight line parts are closer to each other.
I feel better now that hyperbolic. You said two hyperbolic straight line parts.
Hyperbolic is more of a spread out U.
Okay. Okay.
And so, but then you also have ellipses. So basically, they're called conical shapes. If you take a cone, like a dunce hat or whatever.
The cones of Dunshire?
Yeah, the cones of Dunshire. Nice. And you were to take one of those, that's really nice reference. And you were to like cut shapes into it. Mm-hmm. If you cut across the entire cone, mm-hmm, you'll come out with an ellipse. And if you cut straight down, it's parabolic or hyperbolic, depending on how you cut it. And so these are called conical shapes. If you go straight across, you'll get a circle, kind of at an angle, you're going to get an ellipse. Uh-huh. Straight down, you're going to get, depending on where you cut, hyperbolic or parabolic.
Okay. I still don't know what it means. But anyway, moving on. Hail...
They're just circular, the curved orbits that things take.
Okay. Thank you for explaining that.
And then, yeah, okay, go on.
Is the intensity of the comet, like, more than a light bulb? That sounds so dumb.
Oh, a light bulb?
A light bulb. Like, the formula, is it different than, like, you said something about comets and distant, I don't know. I also don't know the space stuff.
Is that inverse square law...
Yeah,
the same for like a comet. So if it's a certain distance in terms of its brightness.
Well, yeah. Comets have
they have a different albedo
going on,
right?
Yeah,
because they have
reflectivity.
A different
reflectivity
based on the composition of the surface.
Right, right. All things equal. You are twice the distance from a comet than you originally were, it is going to be 1/4 the brightness. Mm-hmm. Comets, though, have this weird little thing with, like, when I worked on a project measuring a comet with a photometer, we had to take into account that the brightness of a comet is not like a star, which is a point, mm-hmm, and mm-hmm, somewhat kind of like a planet, which is kind of like a point. It's a small disk, but it's small.
But it's also reflecting light. It's not emitting light.
Right, right. But with a comet, though, that brightness of the comet is spread out.
So it's like a hairy star.
It gets a little fuzzy.
Or a snowball.
That's better.
It gets a little fuzzy.
In physics or astronomy, they would say it's diffuse.
Diffuse.
Yeah.
Okay, so it's spread out.
So when they say, like with this green comet, when they say it's a certain brightness it's going to be, you really need to kind of take that with a grain of salt because that brightness is spread out over a larger area than a star.
And an interesting fact about comets that we didn't talk about was that they're actually very dark. That they have asphalt on the surface. That's why they're
dirty. Haley's snowball reflects 4%.
Yeah, that they're not bright like you would think of, like, you know, an icy surface like, you know, Europa.
I just love it. The comments now have, they're doing stripper names for everybody. I don't know if that's just like the greatest thing for the show, or that we have completely lost everybody for the show.
Harry Star, I feel like, would be like a good like drag. Be like Harry a fun Star? Drag name, yeah.
Harry
Star.
You know, one of the coolest things, speaking of notable orbitals. What was it? Like a couple years ago, we were in, Ron's here. Hey! We were in Lincoln City, which is here in Oregon. It's on the coast. Mm-hmm. And so we were... Liz and I, was it everybody? But you and I go to the, you and I are in this like bookstore, souvenir store, and they have postcards.
Oh, yes, okay, yes.
And so they're selling all of these postcards that people have written to other people in, which I did not know was.
If someone's going through grandma's belongings and they're like, oh, I guess maybe we can donate this to the antique shop or something.
I just randomly pick out a postcard. This is from, what, 1915?
It's
1911, early. I thought?
Yeah.
Yeah, 1911. Yeah. Oh. Yeah, okay, so 1911. So this is, I just randomly pick it out, flip it over and read it. And decide at that moment we're buying this fucking postcard. The postcard was really all about the comet of 1911 and how there was hysteria to it and how people thought that they were going to die from it and there were going to be like poisons from this comet.
It was wild.
And it was just like the perfect, we just picked it up.
I wish I didn't pack it up for and had brought it for this episode so we could read it.
It's pretty neat. Let's do it. Oh, we can do a whole, let's do a shot on that at some point.
Oh, that's a good idea.
Hysteria.
Oh, okay. Well, then, okay.
When we move and can unpack all of our stuff. Then.
Yeah, because this will take the center stage for it. But but it was just an incredible find for it.
Lucky.
And, you know, we like to think that, you know, we're quote unquote civilized.
I believe Brandon just referenced January 6th, so we can throw that out the window.
But, you know, this is like, you know, this was just a little more than 100 years ago, and there's still hysteria about stuff.
For example, when Hale-Bopp passed in 97, which Liz is about to talk about, that's when Heaven's Gate happens. So we're not too far off from still believing in this mythology.
No, that's true.
Yeah.
That's true.
Speaking of Hale-Bopp.
Yeah, what happened
then? I was gonna do like a whole like Hale-Bopp.
Bop doop dop the Hale-Bopp. Skip it up, skip it.
Which 1997. I guess that's
Do we get money from Hanson?
That's actually pretty no.
Do they get money from us for that?
No, definitely not.
That's actually pretty a group of five teenagers, so Hanson. Utilize the comet to.
Wait a minute, you say five?
Yeah.
There's three. Were you not a fan?
Liz didn't read the outline before she started reading
three,
this.
Technically, there are three, but they could have had some friends. Maybe they had some roommates help out.
No.
Okay, you know?
I have all their little Teen Bop magazines.
Did not have a Hanks and Sadie.
Big fan. But
I did. I did have a Spice Girls CD. So, five teenagers utilize the comet to destroy the threat of Ivan Ooze against Earth. What is this from?
That's the plot of Power Rangers the movie.
Oh my gosh.
What happens when they put me in charge of the outline?
Yeah, that's true.
No,
that's
you true. Were not in charge of it. You just took it. I was going to write
for
out
this
the outline.
For this one joke.
I literally just set it up, and then I was going to write it. And then I'm like, okay, I need some breakfast. And so I go get some breakfast and come back. Brandon has half of it written. And then I go,
okay, and hide it in.
And then then I go downstairs and I have just this whole conversation with podcast mom, your mom, and just about names and stuff. And I come back and it's entirely written. And I'm like, I'm going to play Elden Ring now.
I mean, this proves a good point of how
nobody put you in charge.
This is a good point, though, of how it shows that comets are still like this, mystical force and stuff that's in our pop culture that we, utilize for defeating Ivan Ooze.
All right. I tell you what, let's get into our final segment and then we'll get into the hangover. Because I do think.
Left.
Yeah, what?
We have multiple segments. We'll go through this. Okay. All right.
Just take it. Go.
All right. Comet impacts.
Yes, that's going
okay.
to be our
because, final. You know, right. I think we all, Armageddon, all this, we recognize asteroids are the thing that hits the Earth, right, and causes death and destruction. However, the Earth has been hit by a shit ton of comets throughout its entire history as well, and one of those impacts, a comet exploded above the Earth's surface in 1908, possibly this was a comet, for the Tunguska effect in Siberia, and it flattened 2,000 square kilometers in rural Russia. Trees, just trees were like happy, and then they went.
Oh my goodness. We have a show about this, I think like 2 years ago.
Yes. Because
I remember reading diary entries of people that were kind of near it within a few thousand kilometers, and it just like kicked them off the chairs or the huge rumbling of the house. It was massive.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so you can actually see where the comet exploded over the Earth because the trees are just stripped down.
Mm-hmm. There's an epicenter. Yeah.
But they're still standing up, but they're stripped down.
Some are flattened.
But yeah, as you move away from that, they get flattened.
You mean the epicenter, which is
and they point towards the epicenter of where the comet exploded, and
I think that's how Freddie Mercury was born.
I believe it.
That's why they call him Mr. Fahrenheit. Anyway,
and then there's another famous comet impact, luckily not on the planet Earth, but instead. The planet Jupiter, which was the Shoemaker-Levy 9 comet, named after two dudes, Shoemaker and Levy.
kind of yes or no.
Okay.
It's three people. The Shoemakers.
Who's the ninth person?
Yeah.
Well, what? No, Shoemaker-Levy 9, that's the ninth one that they discovered together.
Oh, look at them. Look at this team.
How come their name isn't in the name?
Who's?
There's three people,
Was it Shoemakers?
Oh,
David Shoemakers. David Levy, Carolyn Shoemaker, who, I can't remember. Oh, God, he died in Australia.
Oh, I didn't know Shoemaker was a Carolyn.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. What was his name, though? They were prolific. They discovered a lot. And, Shoemaker... The guy, I believe he was associated with Apollo in some kind of way, but
the,
also
the god or the mission,
but he has an the moon missions,
okay.
And going, he has an asteroid named after him and all that. So Carolyn's still alive, so she can't have an asteroid, but he died in a car wreck in Australia.
Oh, that's right.
So if you're dead, you can't have a Nobel Prize, but if you're alive, you can't have a comet. Jesus, God,
just,
can't win.
If
you have a uterus, you can't have shit.
Well, that's really what it is.
Fair
Eugene. Ruben. Fair
Eugene.
Ruben.
I have Eugene.
Okay. Eugene. Yes, I have opinions on Vera Rubin.
Anyway, the Shoemaker Levy 9 comet impact, that impacted, it broke apart as it got close to Jupiter in 1994. Jupiter's gravity, it got so close it went past what's called the Roche limit. So Jupiter's gravity was like, ha-ha! And broke it apart, and then it had several impacts, and you could actually see where it impacted. There were these dark spots that were left on the surface, in quotes.
It was incredible.
The upper atmosphere of Jupiter. Where it hit, and the impact temperature reached 42,700 degrees Fahrenheit.
42,000 Fahrenheit units, yes.
I like that. And then the impact plume reached over 1,900 miles from the surface, again in air quotes, because it's a gas giant. And the impact power was 600 times the power of the world's entire nuclear arsenal.
That's fucking insane.
So comets, they may seem like, oh, a snowball fight. But no, the death and destruction.
They fuck you up.
They will mess you up. However, also,
and according to.
Yeah.
Seed life, because in the early solar system.
Oh, shit, we didn't even get into Hangover.
No, we didn't talk about that. Oh my God.
Hangover.
There's been, you know, millions of comets have hit the surface of the Earth in the heavy bombardment period, along with asteroids. And there was a sample return mission that was done by the European Space Agency from a comet, and they found organic molecules with amino acids. And so this data, this provides more evidence that life most likely on Earth was seeded by these impacts that happened.
We're aliens.
We are all aliens. Yeah. But are we aliens? Because we're all solar system.
Or are we dancers?
All right. So
the killers. Nice killers reference there. You know, the thing is though, killer. Like with Shoemaker Levy 9. Mm-hmm. You know, it was all right, so the entire world stopped with Apollo 11. Mm-hmm. And astronauts landing. Okay, maybe not in the Soviet Union, but really and truly, that's the entire world stopped with Apollo 11.
Yeah, so, yeah, so
Apollo really quick, 13.
1/4 of the entire human population watched it on live TV. 25% of all
that
humans.
That is insane.
Live. That's a lot.
But when Shoemaker Levy 9 impacted Jupiter, the entire astronomy community stopped. Every telescope was trained towards Jupiter that could see Jupiter.
Yeah, it's like a space.
Every one of them. Hubble was not even, I think, supposed to even look at Jupiter.
They're like, hold on.
They're like, wait a minute.
We got to check this shit out.
Whoever has observing time on Jupiter, you're whatever. This is more important. So, you know, for astronomy, it just all stopped. Mm-hmm. And we were all trained on Jupiter. And we knew about it for a year. And there were all kinds of like, hey, what is this going to look like? And it still blew us away.
And it was just so lucky we had Galileo out there as well. Because Galileo was a spacecraft going out around Jupiter at the time. And it just so happened to coincide with the Shoemaker Levy 9.
Were they able to predict like how hot it would be?
They did try to predict it, but it turned out the predictions were considerably smaller and less than what the actual impacts were.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Cool. All right. So
you're hosting.
Before we call it for the episode and get into other stuff, I do want to talk about kind of one of the most recent impacts again over Russia.
Oh, hey.
Yeah, February 15th.
2015?
Was it 2015?
Like, I thought it was early, 2014?
Anyway.
I'll double check
February 15th. Okay. I think it was February 15th. And, but this is an asteroid. It's not a comet.
It is not a comet. It's also 2013.
All right, 2013, but now that I've gone into it, we're going to talk about it.
That was 10 years ago.
Oh, my God.
Oh, shit. Oh, we're coming up on the anniversary.
Yeah.
February 15th.
But that was like 2 years ago.
Yeah, all right. All right, this is not a comment. 2 years ago. Okay, but this is not a comment.
2013,
2023? Wait, what?
What?
Yeah, it was 10 years ago. If it was 2013, it was 10 years ago.
Yeah, 10 years ago.
Yes.
Yeah, yes. What did you just say?
Because it feels like 2 years ago.
Oh, okay.
Oh, got you.
Yeah, it's...
all right, so this actually...
I can do that math right.
This actually was an asteroid, but yeah. Not a comet, but I do... This story is incredible. All right, so, well, to me it is. So we had known that a comet was going to... Not a comet, an asteroid was going to fly past the Earth. Yes. And we knew about this mm-hmm. asteroid, mm-hmm. and
everybody chill out, it's fine.
All the astronomers were like, "Hey, we're gonna look at it a little bit later on in the day. We're good. we're gonna have a few drinks the night before, celebrate this asteroid." In the morning, so Twitter was blowing the fuck up. It was insane talking about this asteroid.
Twitter was alight.
And you know, when I looked at it, I was like, well, this is the asteroid that's coming later today that we know about it. That's going to happen at like 5 p.m. Whatever time it was.
It's Mountain Standard Time.
Mountain Standard Time for Arizona. So we're good, whatever. No, it was an asteroid that blew up over Chelyabinsk, Russia. Mm-hmm. And we had no idea it was coming because it was coming from the direction of the sun. We never fucking saw this.
Hey, blinded by the flame of frenzy.
Take a drink. We should take a drink to blinded by the flame.
Oh, one later.
And the Elden Ring reference?
Yeah, are you out? You don't plan. You make two drinks.
I have an entire fucking bottle I can do. That's hangover material.
Take a swing.
All right, so... yeah, and so in the early morning hours for us in Arizona, mm-hmm. an asteroid had exploded over Chelyabinsk, Russia. No, I'm saying
Chelyabinsk. Chelyabinsk.
Chelyabinsk.
I was sorry about that when you were done.
All right, Chelyabinsk, over Russia, which is in Siberia, it basically dash cam video footage of it, of streaking across the sky.
Russian swearing.
And so I'll get into swearing, which is really cool. So to me, it's cool. All right. And so you see this, there's all this video, and there's one particular video of this guy, this person that is filming it. You see the streak across the sky, it has already exploded. It is quiet. It's just this really peaceful looking
cold morning day.
Yeah. And then you hear the boom.
It was loud.
There is this sonic boom that occurs and it shatters glass. You hear all this yelling.
Basically, everybody's like, what the?
Which I interpret as rushing cursing. Oh, yes. I don't like Russia right now, but...
No, you don't like the leadership of Russia.
I don't like the leadership of Russia. I do want to, like, learn those words, because I know it's cursing. I just
Suka
want to
means bitch if you're...
But anyway.
What was it? No, what was it?
Suka.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. You said she shoved
it. I took Russian in college a little bit.
Okay, watch the videos. Let me know the words that I need to know.
Because you took a little bit in college, so you're now an expert in
all
Russian.
All I learned were, like, the fun words, so, like, Suka stuck with me. I know.
All right, what does Suka mean?
Bitch.
Bitch? Okay, what does shit and all that mean? Because that would mean, like, glass falling down.
I'll watch the video.
All right.
We'll just Google Translate.
But anyway, what is amazing in all this is like nobody died. It exploded high up above
and came in an angle.
And it was because the angle. It came in at a shallow angle, which meant that all of the force of this explosion was diffused. It was
and
spread
not
out
directly.
But if it had come straight down, it would have flattened, what's the name of the town, Brandon?
Chelyabinsk.
Chelyabinsk. It would have flattened it buildings would have been flattened. People would have died. Nobody died in this. Sure, there were a lot of people that were injured. It was something like 10,000, 20,000. Yeah. It was something. And to the credit of the Russian military, they swept in. They created basically a town overnight so that people could go in.
And at that point, we knew the Russian military was incredibly efficient.
At
least for that. But from a science point of view, the shock wave went around the Earth like 3 times.
That's so cool. Wow.
They actually have evidence of the quote unquote bell being rung 3 times. And this is an asteroid. An asteroid, mind you, that was 60 feet across, which was the size of our planetarium dome.
Yeah. How to do it.
At the time. And so 60 feet across.
Which seems small compared it to the size of the Earth. Small. It seems like, you know, it's not a big object. But
imagine, sure, a comet is going to explode, but look at what Tunguska produced. Mm-hmm. The event over Tunguska.
Yeah, it's not like getting hit with a snowball in a snowball fight.
So, you know.
Depending on how cold.
That snowball has a nuclear weapon inside of it.
Yeah.
Yeah, and so we might think of, hey, I'd rather get hit by a comet than an asteroid. I don't want to get hit by either one of them.
Both big bada booms.
And to be honest, you know, we need to stop worrying about, and this can get political for a second. We need to stop worrying about trans kids. We need to stop worrying about books in libraries. We need to stop worrying about all this other stuff.
To be fair, we need more books in libraries.
Yes, we need, okay, we need to stop worrying about banning books because your precious little kids might become uncomfortable learning about gay kids and bisexual kids and trans kids. You're not bringing this in, Brandon. You're not bringing
this in. We need to consider again that pale blue dot we've been talking about.
All right, you can go with that. All right, but anyway, and so we do need to worry about comets. Comets are beautiful. They do have these amazing just views in the sky.
So really, they can be harbingers of doom and death and destruction.
Yeah, but
why not harbingers of joy, since it happens all the time as well? Connected to
every year there's a comet. Every year. Mm-hmm. And so...
we just gotta keep an eye on them.
But you know the thing is? Let's
keep an eye on them.
Okay, C stands for comet. 2022 means that the year that it was born, that it was born. That we saw it.
The year it was born.
Yes, Brandon. But E3 Brandon means that it's not the fucking first Brandon's comet that we discovered.
Yeah, okay. C, it's more a comet than the question. C is for cookie, and it's good enough for me.
All right, anyway. I think we need a break.
Yeah, we went to like a season one Cosmos of Cosmos here, an hour and a half later. Here we are.
Uh-huh. Yeah, this actually was a great, I mean, we really did debate this topic, whether we should do magnetostars or comets. And then we, only magnetostars because.
You were able to throw in a little Magneto into this episode.
Yeah, we got
not a star, Magneto tail.
But a tail.
Yeah. Yeah, but anyway, so we will not have a Cosmos in 2 weeks. We're going on a trip, and
we will be on assignment.
We will be on assignment.
But I will be on assignment too.
Yeah, we will be on assignment.
We're all on assignment. So
you're on assignment.
I can host it.
Okay.
You'll also be on assignment, maybe.
Ah, be on assignment. Dang it, you're right.
No, it's official now. In 2 weeks, Cass will be hosting Cosmos doing the High in the Sky.
We're gonna do the 8th grade level Cosmos and Cosmos.
Perfect. This is the way.
Whatever topic you want.
Let's talk about dirt and soil.
That's a complicated topic.
So we'll be back. That's a good one.
Gonna get angry.
So we'll be back in 4 weeks. Whatever 4 weeks is from now.
That's a month.
Oh.
A month.
A month.
A
Once lunar phase.
I think we're talking about astrology. This is yours.
Oh, that's a Liz topic.
What's everybody's sign?
Yeah, so basically with this topic.
Liz's sign is bullshit.
Yeah. Yeah.
So in our next show.
It'll be the Liz rant on astrology.
Yeah, that's
Mike and I will kick our feet up.
With some lunar libations created by our own fancy.
Yes, but I.
Have a friend comment.
Oh, shit.
Thanks, Jack.
Oh, wait a minute. Okay, you talk. I'll be right back. And by right back, I'm just going over there.
But Liz, wrap it up. Oh, no.
Wrap it up.
Hey everyone. Welcome to Cosmos of Cosmos without Mike, without fancy physics man. Yeah. Liz and I will just make snide comments to ourselves in hopes that somebody in the comments says something smart.
Because that's Virgo. What we do. Now I know Liz is a Virgo.
This is Virgo.
A supposed Virgo, but if I was born, 12,000 years ago, I wouldn't be a Virgo because of fucking procession. God damn it. I'll save it.
Is Virgo bad? I don't know. I'm a Gemini. That's not good.
Look, I'm a control freak. That's all right.
So this is a Christmas gift.
Oh, no.
It's pretty accurate.
This is a Christmas gift that I actually got.
From me.
It is called Moon Magic and Mixology. Ooh. And so it has all these drinks in it, like the Scorpio Moon of Enchantment. I have no idea.
And each drink, there's a tip on how to drink it and what stones to rub while you drink it, or things to smell while you drink it.
Is this like a word thing?
No, does it do they give you things to say, little mantras? They're like...
In some of them, yes. Like, you want to hold an almond, and you want to, think about the wisdom of almonds, and you will get wisdom from your drink that you're drinking.
Lunar focus, so we'll be able to focus with the moon.
All right, we don't want to give too much away.
No, okay, all right, but...
This is a teaser.
Making some drinks.
Who's hosting this episode?
Well, I think
Virgo in control, I will be... Oh yeah,
don't forget to change your moon water. Yes, moon water's in there. All
right,
I'm in this episode.
We gotta wrap this episode.
All right, thanks for joining us. We'll see you in 4 weeks when we all return, or at least two of us return from assignment.
And don't forget to check out the shot while we're gone.
Yeah, and for those that dare do this, stick around. Join us for the hangover.
Dare do this? Those of you that dare watch us live, stick around.
All right, cheers everybody, bye.